It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM Translator, W297CH, Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Dear Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us back here one more time, Lord, to preach the gospel. And Lord, I do ask that you would bless the services here this morning. Lord, may you give me grace and words to speak, courage to stand and lift up Christ. Lord, help us. Send a message out across this country through the radio stations, the internet, and all those means. Lord, send it across that thy people might hear and believe and be saved. Help us, Lord. Bless us. Bless each radio station, each hearer. Have mercy upon us. I do ask you to bless those on our sick lists, our sick, afflicted, the bereaved, Lord. We ask you for them. Have mercy, heal, and raise up. And Lord, I do ask you for the offering now as we receive it, may it all be used to get out the gospel to this lost, dying world. Guide us and bless us, Lord, according to thy will, and I ask it all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this broadcast is coming to you from the chapel here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, and we're located at 9559 Florida Boulevard in Walker, Louisiana. And for those of you who are not familiar with the area, that's just a few miles to the east of Baton Rouge, 5 or 10 miles. But if you're in the area, come and visit us. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And I want to welcome everyone here in the chapel, those who hear by internet and radio. I want to welcome you here this morning. It's kind of cold here, but it's warm in the building. And I thank the Lord for the central heat and those things that we have today. So I do want to remind you, especially those in the Hattiesburg Laurel area, the radio station there is changing the frequency. That's WMXI in Laurel. They're changing from 98.1 to 107.1 starting today. So if you listen to that station there in Laurel, Laurel, Mississippi, keep in mind, starting today, you'll have to listen on 107.1 to hear the Voice of Truth and the Trailblazer broadcast. So keep that in mind. It's not often we have changes like that, but it does happen on occasion. But I'm glad to be with you. Don't forget our website, radiomissions.org, and you can hear the services there on the internet, live through the website there. And you can also hear it on sermonaudio.com, live services, whenever we're having service here in the chapel. So keep that in mind. I'm Brother Glenn Bond, And I welcome everybody. I'm glad to see y'all this morning. And may you listen and worship with us for the next hour. And may the Lord bless you. Let's start our service now in the Red Book, number 170. He Rolled the Sea Away, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. At this time, we have a lot of people on our prayer list. Miss Wylene Lovis and her sister, Miss Peaches. And I just heard that Miss Wylene is back home from the rehab or whatever it was that she was in. But she's back home now, and hopefully she's doing better. Miss Peaches is still in the rehab or convalescent home or whatever it is, but she's still there and not back home yet. But let's keep praying for them. And then Brother Ben White and his family, Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gale, Miss Dorothy Vale, Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson, Miss Ginger Denton and her daughter Lindsay, Brother Ronnie Sartalamacci and his wife and his brother. And then this Miss Theta Adcock, Miss Carolyn Antoine, Miss Aloise Antoine, Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Joaquin Martinez, Brother Terry Newton and his dad. Brother Terry is doing much better. Brother Russell Perry, Miss Becky Inglis, Brother David Davis, and Brother Ed Ambrose. Brother Ed having some problems there. And then in a nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gale, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. And these are a few of our people that are having some serious health issues, we could say. And let's pray for them. But don't forget to pray. There's many more of our people lost, loved ones, our children, our brothers, sisters, all those things that are not saved. Let's pray that the Lord will move not only to heal the sick, but to save the lost. So let's take our red book now and turn to number 258. He is so precious to me. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Rapture.
precious to every redeemed sinner. Praise the Lord for it. Let's turn now in the Red Book, number 399, Seeking the Lost, verses 1, 2, and 3. And y'all sing it out. That's the way of salvation. Christ died for sinners. I want to tell y'all, just like the Apostle Paul said there in that 26th chapter of Acts, when he was standing before King Agrippa, giving his testimony, and King Agrippa doubted him. He said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian, but I want to tell you like Paul told King Agrippa. He said, I would to God that not only thou, but that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell you, I wish you were like I am. I wish you knew the Christ that I knew. I wish you knew the salvation that the Lord has made known to me. I praise the Lord for what he's done for me. I come here again today to tell you of this wonderful salvation that Jesus Christ purchased for us there on the cross of Calvary. And that's my purpose in coming here, to tell you, remind you of what Christ has done. to urge you on to seek the Lord. Like Brother Freddie said this in the Bible school, if you never seek the Lord, you'll never find him. You'll never be saved. If Christ had never died on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, then none of us could ever be saved. None of us. None of us. We would all be doomed to hell because of our sin nature, the wickedness that's within us. All those things, we're unable to do anything at all of ourselves to save us. I can't do anything to save myself. You can't do anything to save yourself. We're unable to put away our sin. We're not able. If any man were able, then Christ would not have died. He wouldn't have had to die. There would be no reason for him to die. Well, they can save themselves. They can put away their own sin. They don't need me to do that. And that's the way it would be if we were able to save ourselves. But we're not able. We're not able at all in any way, any manner. No way. And Christ, God the Father, God the Son, knew that we couldn't save ourselves. And so God the Father sent the Son to die, to be a sacrifice, to put away sin, that we can be saved. That's why Christ died. That's why he came. Now we have heard that Christ died. We've all heard it. It's what is generally called a Christian nation. I don't know how we can call it a Christian nation when I look across in this country and see all the wickedness that's within it. But we have all heard that Christ died on the cross. And we've heard it all our lives, and we tend to take it for granted. Christ died, and it was no big thing for him to die. But I'm telling you, it was a big thing for Christ to die on that cross. Whenever he was in the garden praying right before his crucifixion, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." If it's possible in any way, let this cup pass from me. And the thing that was in that cup, the thing that we don't think much about, we think about how he was beaten, how they spit on him and they plucked his beard and pressed the crown of thorns on his head. We think of all those things and how he was nailed to the cross and all the pain that he suffered. But I believe that the greatest suffering was the sin that was in that cup. For Christ to have to take sin upon himself, I can't understand it and I can't explain it. But I believe the greatest part of his suffering was to take our sin upon himself. He took it upon him. That song says he made it his very own. And that's what Christ did on the cross. He made my sin to be his sin. And until you can come to see and understand the awfulness of sin, it won't ever mean much to you. But Christ took my sin upon himself there at Calvary, that he might put away my sin. He carried it away, put it away, never to be remembered against you anymore. And if there were any way, other way of salvation, any way for man to work out a salvation for himself, then Christ would not have come and taken my sin upon him. he wouldn't have come. But the fact is, there's no other way of salvation. There's no other way. Man cannot save himself. There's nothing that you can do, and if you're ever saved, it'll be because you have come to Christ for his help, for his salvation, to have your sin put away. The Lord must help you. The Holy Spirit must come upon you, must give you understanding. Open your understanding. Enlighten the mind. Cause you to see what you are. Give you repentance. Give you faith. More grace to trust the Lord. And by nature, we have none of these things. We don't have it. We don't have a desire for Christ. We don't have an enlightened understanding. We don't have repentance. We don't have faith. There's nothing in us that we can do or use or cause to bring about salvation. You don't have it. By nature, we're all born into this life. When we're born in here into this life, we're born on that road, that broad way that leads to destruction, every one of us. Amen. We come into this life in the broad way. Now, my subject this morning, I've titled the message, "What Would You Have Me to Do?" And that's what the Apostle Paul, old Saul, that's what he said when the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And I think that every lost sinner should begin to ask the Lord this question. Every one of us. Those that are saved, let's ask the Lord the same thing. But look at Saul as he journeyed on the road to Damascus, on his journey with intentions to destroy God's people there in Damascus. He was on the road, headed out with every intention to destroy God's people. And near the end of his journey, as he was coming into Damascus, he met the Lord in the way. One minute we find him going about his, we might say, dastardly work on the road to Damascus, heart full of hatred. The next minute, we find him humbled before the Lord. That's how the Lord works. He stops you. He'll stop you quickly. He was humbled before the Lord. His heart was filled with fear and trembling. His purpose and his desire to rid the world of Christians was now gone. Think about it. His purpose, all that he had in mind, is now gone. Think about how that applies to your life. You're going about your life with your purpose, your thoughts, what you want to do. When the Lord stops you, all of that's going to be gone. It's going to mean nothing to you anymore. Nothing. That's where the Bible says, forsake all. Forsake all. The Lord stopped Saul dead in his tracks and caused him to see and know his error. Caused him to know. And when Saul saw his error, the first thing he said was, "Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, I've been wrong. I've done all this error. I've had many of thy people killed, and it's too late for that, and I can't undo it. What can I do now? What's left for me? I don't know what to do." We see that Saul immediately acknowledge Christ as Lord. Because there in the way, the Lord stopped him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Christ. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the one you're persecuting." And he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Now we can be pretty sure that old Saul never thought of Christ, Jesus Christ, as Lord before. Never before. Because he went about persecuting all the followers of Christ, putting them to death if possible. He didn't acknowledge Jesus as being the Christ, the Son of God. He wouldn't have it. But now he calls him Lord. He considered Christ to be an imposter, a deceiver. But now he knows that Christ is Lord. Listen what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:3. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You can't say that Christ is Lord. You can't know until the Holy Spirit opens your understanding and causes you to know. And the Lord will do that for you before he saves you. When Saul called Christ, when he called him Lord, we find strong evidence there of the hand of God in his life. When the Lord stopped him, he made him to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Lord will bring every lost sinner to that point long before you're ever saved. You'll come to know Christ as Lord. The people today who call him Jesus, 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 these people have never come to know him Lord, as Lord. Certainly his name is Jesus. But whenever you address someone in respect, you address them as Sir, Mr., Lord, Brother, Uncle. You don't just spout off a name. You use some reverence with it. And to leave out these signs of respect is to show openly disrespect, irreverence. And if any person deserves respect and honor, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you think of our Lord? What do you think of him? How do you address him? Do you think of him as Lord? Or do you think of him as just Jesus? Look there at Saul when the Lord stopped him. We find him blindly and ignorantly chasing down the people of God that he might destroy them. That was his purpose. The Lord stopped him, shined a bright light around him, and that bright light kind of blinded everybody. It stopped everybody. They all stopped what they was doing, stopped where they was going. And then the Lord appeared to Saul in that light. Jesus Christ appeared to Saul. And what was the predominant thing that Saul saw? What did he come to understand? What happened to him? The main thing that came on Saul at that time was his sin. He saw that he was wrong. He saw that he was deceived. He saw his ignorance. It all came to light. He began to understand. He saw his unbelief. He saw that he was nothing but a sinner. He saw that he was deceived into thinking that all the Christians were evil. These things became immediately clear and plain to him. There was no more doubt in his mind. And he saw, he understood that he was in a bad place before God. Now you think about it. Think about Saul there. Think of all the things that he had done in persecuting the church. Think of those that he had killed. Think of how he had blasphemed the name of God. How he had called Christ a deceiver, or who knows what. Wouldn't believe, called him a liar and a cheat. Think of Saul. Think of him standing there before Christ, knowing all these things, and knowing that Christ knew all about him, knew all that he had done. The Lord knew that he's nothing but sin. The Lord knew he was deceived, that he was ignorant. Now Saul knows, and he knows it plainly. He knows that the Lord knows, Saul knows, and the Lord knows. All these things rose up in his face to condemn him before God. This is what we call being awakened. When the Lord shines that light, stops you, causes you to see what you are, makes you to know that God knows all about it, and that you stand there before God in your sin, knowing that you're condemned, knowing that there can be no verdict but hell, knowing the reality of hell. Can you imagine that? I don't believe that any person can truly perceive or understand what it means to stand before God in sin and knowing the consequences of it. I don't believe we can know that or understand that until the Lord awakens us. I can tell you, I can explain it. I can explain all what it means and go into all the minute details of it, but I can't make it real to you. I can't make it real to you. But when the Lord stood before the old Saul there, Saul knew. The Lord made it real to Saul, and he fell on his face before the Lord in submission and said, "Lord, what will you have me to do? I've done all this wickedness, all these evil things, and it's past and it's gone and I can't undo it. What will you have me to do?" He sees and knows that he's a guilty sinner, that he's caught in the act, and he knows the penalty is death, eternal death, into hell, the lake of fire. What will you have me to do? Is there any help for me? Just imagine what that means. Imagine coming face to face with God, a holy and a righteous God, whose law you have broken, spurned, trampled underfoot, and now you're caught in the very act of it, and you know what the penalty is. Imagine, if you can, imagine what that means. Imagine old Saul there, as he stood before the Lord, how he felt. I'm going to tell you, lost sinner, you're going to come to that place before the Lord saves you. You're going to come there. You're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to come in some sense before God, just like Saul did. And you'll see, you'll understand that you've offended and sinned against the Holy God, just like Saul did. It'll happen if the Lord ever saves you. You'll come to see and to know that you're caught in the very act of sin. And I ain't talking about the sin of just maybe a little white lie, but the sin of rebellion, the sin of unbelief. You've called God a liar, said, no, it's not so. You've rebelled against God. You said, I'll not have this man to reign over me. Rebellion and unbelief, two of the greatest things that you can throw up in the face of God. And every one of us is guilty of it. And what do you think the Lord's going to do? The Lord stopped Saul there on the road to Damascus, and all this became plain to him. Plain, no doubt, obvious. So obvious that you can't even argue against it. Yes, Lord, what will you have me to do? What can I do? If you're ever saved, you're going to submit yourself to the Lord, just like Saul did, that the Lord can do with you as he pleases. He can do whatever he please. He can save you, or he can send you to hell. And he has every right to execute judgment upon you and send you to hell because of your sin, your wickedness, your rebellion, your unbelief. The law of God says,